Okay, well, hello everybody, and welcome back to the Applied Human Design podcast. I'm your host, Heather, and as always, I am so grateful that you are here spending a little bit of time with me today. Today's episode is a fun one, like always. As you may have intoned from the title, we are taking another week off the top tail deconditioning experiment. I promise you we will get back to it. It's just that, this is kind of another emergency meeting just because it does have a timely aspect to it in that the eclipses are starting on the 14th of October. So that's like not this weekend, but the weekend after. I want to give you guys plenty of time to see if you do want to mess around with them, play around with them, as I will be. And honestly, well, I guess there's like a couple of other things. It does get a little bit boring for me to talk about, just like human design stuff all the time, obviously, as you know. And it's also so good for me to have like a backup plan for those weeks when I just don't have inspiration as to what to speak about. So, all that being said, hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm recording on Zoom today, which I don't really do. I might upload like video to Spotify. We'll see. That seems to be a thing, but also like my back, I look like, yeah, my back looks so arched and just like weird because I kind of like hunch over my microphone. So I probably won't do that, to be completely honest. But when I record on this other like app, like using the microphone I'm using, it just always like stops itself randomly. And I just don't need that energy in my life, to be completely honest. Anyway, we should probably start talking about selling. So what's been going on? How are you? I'm good. I've had such a good week. It has just been such a nice week. So as you know, well, if you listened to last week's episode, I had like three of my girlfriends come down to like the beach house that I'm living at the moment for the weekend for my friend Leanne's birthday. Her birthday was a couple of weeks earlier, but we celebrated it this last weekend, and it was just so nice and so wholesome. Like it was so funny. I kind of forget. Like sometimes I just think I live in my little witchy world, and I kind of forget that I don't know, the rest of the world just thinks in a very different way and like lives a very different life than I do. So like I went to the coffee shop that I always go to on Friday morning, and it was like the start of a long weekend here in Victoria, because we had our like football grand final on the weekend. And yes, my state is very serious about sports. Anyway, so the barista was like, "Oh, what are you up to this weekend? What's on?" And I was like, "Oh, I've got the girls coming down like for a girls' weekend." He's like, "Oh, you're gonna have some drinks." And I was just like, it hadn't even crossed my mind that that was a thing people do. Like, none of us really drink alcohol. I have not touched alcohol since about like March or April or something. No, April, because it was Italy. I had my last drink. Anyway, I was just like so taken aback that I was like, no, probably more like witchy full moon stuff. He's like, oh, okay. But anyway, it is what it is. And yeah, so that's essentially what we did. Like, so they were here for the Aries full moon. We lit a bonfire like outside of the house on the second night. So they were here Friday and Saturday. We just, yeah, like did little card pulls and healings for each other. We went to the beach. I had my first swim, which I was more or less bullied into. I'm not really a cold water type person, but I did get my hair wet, and it did feel really nice. And yeah, it was funny. So if you follow me on Instagram, I've been a bit of like a curly hair resurgence, like reclaiming my curly hair journey this last, I don't know, 6 months or something. And these curls that like I have to work so hard for, when I just like wash my hair normally, and like do all like the plumping and like the extra conditioner and the gel and the mousse and like all the things, and the plopping and like everything, right? And then I just dipped my hair in salt water, and it was like the best curls you've ever seen in your life. And I was just like, okay, life could be so much easier if I wasn't such a chicken when it came to getting in the ocean. But anyway, we digress. What else? Yeah, it was just such a nice weekend. It was just exactly what I wanted and needed and what all of us needed. And every day I'm just so grateful for my friends. And then, yeah, other than that, so work stuff has always also been just really fun this past week. I think I mentioned this last week, so I won't go too far into it, but being the love witch, I swear I was made for this. I just love like doing all these like past and present lovers, like past lives healings and stuff with everyone's past lovers, and just helping people, because this is the thing, is that like, and a few of the girls that I, like, I've read for this last week have said this. It's like you don't even realize the patterns that you have in relationships until it's like pointed out to you, kind of thing, especially from someone who knows nothing about your life. So yeah, if you do want to book one of those, I definitely highly recommend them as a gift to yourself this Libra season, this season of Venus, this season of love. What else? Okay, so, oh yeah, also the whole weekend that the girls were here, I've just had this sense. Do you ever, maybe this is just me, but tell me if you can relate, like, do you ever get a sense that there is like a new oracle deck, or there is a new card deck that is calling out to you, right? And you just have to find it, and you don't necessarily know what it is, but you kind of like can't be at peace until you find it. So this feeling came on to me kind of like last Thursday. In a lot of the readings I've been doing, because I have been connecting more and more, like as I'm developing like more my spirit communication and like just like psychic skills and all of that, I've been connecting more to people's ancestors. And let me tell you, like a lot of your ancestors want to give harsher messages than my very like light angelic oracle cards that I've happened to have on hand at the moment can give. And so I had this sense, okay, like there is like a darker deck. There is like a more intense and like kind of call out deck that's calling out to me. Just couldn't find it. And there is one metaphysical shop in the like very small beach town that I live in, which is such a blessing, but of course it's so rarely open. But on Monday morning, so a couple of days ago, I did kind of pop down pretty much, you know, first thing in the morning, and just like found this deck. Like she had so many decks and I was looking through them all, and there were like a few that I was like, oh yeah, maybe. But I picked up this one called The Elemental Oracle by Stacey DeMarco. And then I saw, and it's got this like, you know, those covers that those oracle card covers, and they create rainbows on, I can't remember, like I don't know, whatever. But like they create rainbows when the sun hits them. So I had that kind of cover, and it's just like black with this like rainbow. And I was just like, I feel like that's it. And also like elemental. And then I was reading the description and like about the author and stuff, and she's Australian. So I was like, okay, that's like another tick in the right direction in terms of like what I want and what I want to connect to. Because, you know, as I've spoken about a little bit, I think like just being home in Australia and like planning to be home for at least a year, I think I'm really working on just like connecting to like the seasonal changes here and like the seasons that we have here, and then also like the land spirits that are here and the nature spirits that are here and all of that, rather than, you know, because so much of like witchcraft and magical information and even like a lot of astrological information is based on like a northern hemisphere type of flow. Not even like northern hemisphere in general, because even within that you have like they're gonna have different like microclimates and stuff. And you know, this deck is amazing because so it's the Elemental Oracle, but it's connecting to, you know, it includes a card for like bushfires and like things like that, you know, things that are relevant to Australian nature and like elemental spirits as well. But anyway, so the story goes, as I was checking out, the woman who owns the shop, like I'd said nothing about what I'm looking for. Like we always have a little chat when I walk in. obviously I go there a lot. And yeah, as I was checking out, she's like, oh, this deck's great. Now what exactly did she say? She's like, oh, you know, she's like, it will like call you out. Like it's, you know, she even mentioned something around like, oh, you know, if it's not like those other decks that are kind of like up here, you know, like pointing up to the sky and like they're kind of like angel, like that sort of like light, fluffy oracle deck that so many of them are. And, you know, absolutely, I have a lot of those as well. She's like, yeah, it's like really like with the earth, like of the earth, right? And the earth will, if you think about it, like the earth will call you out. The earth is chaotic. That's part of being human, which is interesting because that's a part of what we're going to be talking about today. And I was just like, that is exactly what I've been looking for. And yeah, I've just been playing with it and getting to know it. I'll probably do like a little review on my Instagram once, maybe after a week of week or 2 weeks or so of interacting with it. But even just in the pools that I've used it for, both for myself and then for a few clients as well in the last few days, it's been, yeah, exactly what I was seeking. Okay. I think that's all I want to talk about. The Human Design Reader Training is currently open for enrollment. It's only open for another 4 weeks or so, so make sure you get in. Very excited to be welcoming a few new students over the weekend too. And yeah, so today we are speaking about eclipses. Specifically, oh, whoops, sorry, I just hit the microphone. So sorry if there was a weird sound. Hopefully not. So where should we start? Okay, so let's talk about let's just start with like what an eclipse represents energetically. I have to keep an eye on the time because I have a client call and I will get distracted and miss it. I won't. Okay, but no, we have plenty of time. Okay, what does an eclipse represent energetically? Okay, eclipses happen typically twice a year. I'm not going to go through, I can't be bothered going through like the actual mechanics of an eclipse. I'm sure I've done it elsewhere in this podcast. Otherwise, a simple Google search will get you what you need to know. So I'm not so much talking about eclipses from like that perspective today, but energetically, eclipses are like represented as real turning points. Okay, so typically they're happening twice a year, sometimes 3 times a year, depending on like where they're falling, but most often twice a year in two sets of two. Like, so you'll have, and again, it might be a set of three, but it's going to depend on like what date and where the new moons and full moons are falling. Again, there's all kinds of mechanics to it. We don't really like need to know that much about it for our purposes today. but yeah, so you're typically going to have like I was saying, two sets of two throughout the year. So around four eclipses in a year, that's like standard. And that's what we have this year. In 2023, we had a set of two eclipses back in April, May. So late April, early May. And now we've got a set of two eclipses coming up in October. So you have the 14th and the 28th. But I believe the second one falls on just because the timing, it'll be like early morning on the 29th in Australia. Yeah, so they represent turning points, right? So they kind of can really represent these energetic turning points that can denote or give indication for changes that may like seem to begin or even like be initiated or even come out of nowhere potentially around the exact time of the eclipse, but will continue on and continue to bring like change often to a specific area of your life or maybe just like your life as a whole for the coming six months. And of course these occur like on an individual basis because they're going to hit specific parts in our chart, but they're also happening on a collective scale. So if we think of this on that kind of like ancient and like how the denotations or like associations of eclipses would have what it would have meant for our ancient ancestors and things like that. Like, imagine you are just tilling the field out in ancient Greece or ancient Rome or something like this. I don't know if the Greeks really tilled the field. Let's go with ancient Rome. Definitely tilled the field. And all of a sudden, it's night, right? In the middle of the day, or what you thought was the middle of the day, what you've come to expect is the middle of the day. It goes dark, right? And it seems to come out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, it becomes light again. It's day again. It was like, you kind of look around, like, did that really happen? Blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm sure there were people who began to predict these and like track these and came to expect them and things like that. but also, I'm sure for a lot of people, like, it still came as a shock when it did happen. Okay, so one thing that I did find interesting is that in ancient times, and I wish I could remember exactly where this was. It may have been Greece, it may have been earlier than that. But anyway, so eclipses, so if there was an eclipse, so in this particular ancient culture's belief, if there was an eclipse that took place like during a battle, like during a war, it was said to be an interception from the gods, or like a message from the gods, and like fighting had to immediately stop. Like there had to be immediate ceasefire, not to like come back tomorrow, but just like, that's it. Like basically a peace treaty was expected to be drawn. And this did actually take place. And I wish, I feel like I always do this to you guys. I'm like, I have this really cool, fun fact, but I cannot remember where it took place. Let me see if I can like rack my mind, rack my brain. I'm pretty sure if you just Google like the Great Eclipse War or something like that, you'll find a war or like a battle that was taking place, I think around like 500 BCE, that yeah, was halted, that came to a peacekeep treaty because of an eclipse. So yeah, anyway, so that's just a little bit about eclipses. And then, so that's like really ancient, but I also like to think about just like 100, 200, 300, 400 years ago, like more recent history, right? And think of just like your great grandma. She's just like doing the laundry down by the river or whatever. And again, just like the sky all of a sudden turns to black, turns to night. You know, she's just like, wow, you know, something is afoot. So yes, thinking about the actual event it can really, really help us think about like what these represent energetically. So eclipses, like when we think about them today, are often associated with, like I said, like turning points, and often just like a sense of unpredictability. Like, so this is something to keep in mind for what we're going to talk about for the rest of today, is that you cannot control or predict the change that an eclipse will bring. So as much as I know you wish that an eclipse happening in your seventh house would denote that you are going to find love and get married, you cannot control exactly what's going to happen. You like, an eclipse will bring change, like an eclipse in your seventh house will bring change to one-on-one relationships, but like there's no control over how that happens, what that looks like, etc. Okay, so that's important. Now, what I want to focus on today is something that I have played with for the last couple of years, and I'm really more confident in now. and so wanted to talk about, and I'm going to play with this eclipse season, and that is working with eclipses actively, like working with the magic of an eclipse to cast spells or to do whatever it is you do in your personal practice. Okay. So a lot of people, and this was something that I was always taught by my astrology teachers and all of that, was like, don't work directly with eclipses, like let them work on you. And you've probably heard me say that, right? I take all of that back. like a lot of things that I've probably said, my personal beliefs and my approach to spirituality and just, yeah, how I connect with the world, with my practice, with my work has changed dramatically over the past few months. But it's been in process for like, you know, 2 years really. And so you will hear me like making contradictions on things that maybe I've recorded on this podcast before. And, you know, if we can't call ourselves out, if we can't change our minds, if we can't correct ourselves, who are we? So I do, and I have, and I just, yeah, believe in working consciously and actively with eclipses and casting eclipse magic. So, yeah, why do I think some people say not to? And this is where, like, I think a lot of people, and especially like the New Age community, can have this this fear of the uncontrollable. It's like what I was saying before. It's like eclipse magic is uncontrollable. Whatever you bring into, it's like, yeah, you can ask for things, or you can like manifest things, or like cast spells for certain intentions on eclipses. And they hold such power, right? Again, these are hugely powerful events that would have meant a lot, that do mean a lot, that come rarely, and they pack a punch, right? So this is, why would you not? This is the thing when you start like playing with magic. It's like, if something is holding that much power, why not? Why would you not harness it for your own use, or like something, like a change that you desire to see? The thing to be very aware of when working with eclipse magic is that you can't necessarily know how that is going to turn out. And I think that's what scares a lot of people, right? Is like, yeah, you could you could ask for this thing, but like on an eclipse, or like work magic to get this particular thing or this particular change, but how it's going to come into your life, you cannot control, okay? Yeah, so there can be this fear around not wanting to like mess with things that are unpredictable. Honestly, the like something that, now when was it? So I actually like, so it started changing my mind about eclipse magic back in 2021. Like I said, it was actually just off like a random blog post. and I was reading about like moon water, right? So you know how you can like create moon water. So you can create full moon water. So you put your water outside and charge it in the light of the full moon. You can create new moon water, blue moon water, waning moon water, etc., etc. And this website just briefly mentioned eclipse water. And I was like, oh, you are not supposed to mess with eclipses for magic. But this person was like, you know, so if you have a situation in your life that you want really quick and like powerful, dramatic shifts in, you might like to harness and use eclipse water. And it got me thinking. I was just like, you are so right. Like sometimes our life needs unpredictability, right? Okay. Like, what is more terrifying to me than unpredictability and not knowing, like not being able to control an outcome, is predictability. And so if an area of your life, like a specific area of your life, like home situation, family situation, romantic situation, money situation, career situation, is feeling stagnant, or maybe your life as a whole is feeling stagnant, I would argue eclipses hold the exact energy of or the exact like spirit of exactly what you need to create that shift, right? To change things up, to harness eclipse power and shake up the stagnancy. you know, and all of this, I could do an entire episode on why the New Age and I have parted ways. I actually had a moment this morning when I went through my entire email inbox and like unsubscribed from any like person who I just, yes, no longer connect to, and like, you know, with love, they're doing their thing, but like, I just don't. Yeah. Anyway, I could talk a lot more about it, but, and that's why I have inserted my practice, my work, my heart in witchcraft, and now studying like folk magic, right? Like folk practice, folk beliefs, and actual healing that takes into account more than like egoic needs and all of these things. Right? Like often there is this wording or this like belief, or again, it's like once you're in the New Age community, and if you're just like reading these books and stuff like that, or listening to these people talk, blah, 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 there can be these kind of like sweeping beliefs, and I feel like I've been trying to express this for so long, but finally having like the wording and like the demonstration of how it can look otherwise. But anyway, there can be these like sweeping beliefs that you're almost like expected to believe, even if you don't believe them. And a big one is just sit back and trust in the plan. Okay. One of my favorite things about witchcraft and like magical practice in opposition to this sort of belief is actually you have the power to take things into your own hands. And to me, that feels better, right? Again, I'm not coming for anyone else's beliefs. I am saying I've found a belief system that works far better for me. Sitting back and trusting in the plan, to me, it makes me feel powerless. And when I feel powerless, I do not care for it, right? You know, it's like this really like sit back and like trust in the plan is just like put your trust in God or put your trust in our Savior Jesus Christ, just packaged in a different way. Okay. And again, I've fallen into this, right? I have said this at times when I've really wanted to say something else, because I felt that I had to repeat the words and the belief systems of the New Age commodity machine, more or less. You know, like sometimes you do not want to, or it is not in your best interest, or the best interest of your community, or the best interest of your friends or your family to sit back and trust in the greater plan, right? Sometimes you want to take life into your own hands, shake it up, and change things to initiate, create, or invite the spirit of change. And that is what eclipse magic represents. It represents harnessing something hugely powerful, a huge powerful event to initiate change, right? Okay, now all that to be said, like I'm definitely not saying that the witchcraft community is perfect or like superior in this way. There are 100% pockets of this community that also hold like fear or like, you know, kind of like give fear or like spreading fear and these rules around, okay, this is 100% what rules you must follow if you are going to practice magic. And in certain pockets of the witch, like, yeah, in certain pockets of the witchcraft community too, there are also going to be people who warn against harnessing eclipse magic. And again, if it scares you, if it frightens you, if it's not for you, you will know that. I just want to give the opposite point of view for people who are maybe feeling drawn to it, but not quite sure. Okay. Another example of just these like unwritten rules in the witchcraft community is this like rule of three law, which is this notion that when you first step into studying like witchcraft and magical practice and all of that, it's kind of like stamped in enough places that it becomes this unwritten rule, like this accepted rule. But when you actually look into where this rule originated, it's not rooted in any kind of historic like true belief. It's not even like written in any traditional like witchcraft books or like actual like practical books. It came from a fictional book by a man who's like associated with being like one of the founding people of Wicca. And Wicca is a religion. It is different to witchcraft, right? You can be a witch without practicing Wicca, right? So this is a belief that doesn't even like play into my personal belief system, but it's like stamped over enough people that it's meant to be like accepted, right? And if you don't know, like the rule of three is basically like whatever you put out comes back to you three times. And again, if that is what you truly believe, that is more than fine, but I would invite you to question as to whether every good thing you've ever done actually came back to you three times, or you know, the opposite, has every bad thing or even has every like bad person had what's coming for them three times over? No. Again, you know, it's just, yeah, again, when you start to actually question these beliefs that are just like taken at face value, you will come to some very interesting conclusions. And that is why I would say take nothing you read, especially what you hear from me, at face value. Feel into it, reflect on it for yourself, right? You know, that's really part of walking a path that's reflective of your own beliefs and your own personal ethics. Okay, we've gotten a little off track here. But basically I want to present to you a way of thinking of magic and like personal practice, spirituality that is more well-rounded, that like really comes at it from a critical thinking perspective, right? So that you can really make up your own mind about what works for you. Okay, so taking all that into mind, right? Thinking freshly about your ability to wield power. Let's talk about some situations where eclipse magic, like some tangible situations where eclipse magic might be useful. Okay. So we've got these eclipses, this set of eclipses coming up in a couple of weeks, like I said. Okay, so we have a solar eclipse, which is an eclipse happening on the new moon, and that is October 14. That will be a new moon in Libra. Okay, so we're working with the sign of Libra if you want to work with that, and we're working with the South Node. As a general rule, when you're thinking about harnessing the energy of eclipse, of an eclipse for a magic spell or just like a cast or like a situation of some kind, the South Node decreases, deletes, removes, and the North Node increases or expands. Again, both are unpredictable. And so it's important to note that while you can expect change, liberation, dramatic shifts in circumstances, shakeups, and so on, you, as the practitioner, have very little control over the how. Now, that doesn't mean that you completely have no control, right? Like one suggestion I would have would be like, okay, so you're bringing in the when you're like designing your spell, right? When you're thinking about like, I want to cast a spell to change my career situation. You've got the eclipse energy, and that's big, and that's forceful, and that's unpredictable, and all of these things. So how can you bring in like plants, herbs, crystals, cards, spirits, deities, any type of like any spirit or entity or being or energy that you work with that can really represent like softening or sweetening the working, sweetening the spell, giving it that energy of like, yes, I want change, but I also want a soft landing. Right, to give us as much of a soft landing as possible. But there's always going to be like an element of unpredictability that can't be fully counted when you're working eclipse magic. Okay. And if that kind of excites you know, you're my type of girly, you know, you don't have to be excited by that though. Okay. So, eclipses on the South Node, right? So we have the Libra eclipse cycle. Sorry, the Libra eclipse in this cycle that's happening on October 14. So we are thinking of getting rid of things, lessening things. If you are in a bad debt situation, if you have a lot of debt that you'd like to lessen or get rid of in a dramatic way, perfect, right? Again, disclaimer, and you've been warned, this is for experimental witches. I can't tell you exactly how this will go or how it will come about, how the change will come about. So don't come at me. Full disclaimer, I take no liability. This is for you if you want to experiment. So, okay, so for that spell, let's think of some associations, right? You want purifying type of associations. You want to think of releasing, letting go, getting rid of. Just from the top of my head, right, you could think sea salt, right? Sea salt being super purifying. You know, that example I gave way earlier in the episode of me having my first swim of the summer, it's like you dive into the ocean and you come out reborn, right? It just like it feels like it washes away all sins. So sea salt to me is very representative of cleansing. You could also even use like sea water if you live by the ocean that you collect at the exact moment of the eclipse, right? Powerful. You could charge this water in the eclipse, like so to charge it, just leave it outside or by a window. During the exact time of the eclipse, I would work with maybe like 15 minutes before and 15 minutes afterwards. You know, just do a little of inviting the energy of this eclipse to quickly clear all debts. You could, like, if you're working with like salt that you've charged in the eclipse, right? For example, you could put it in a jar, and like add a or like draw a sigil on top of the jar that represents financial freedom or like clearing debt to you. Or you could literally just write like an affirmation, like I am free of any and all debt. On a bit of paper and either stick it in the jar or on top of the jar. You could burn a white candle, right? Because again, white candle to me really represents like purifying, cleansing, all of this. Black candles to me are more protective. So if you want to like protect from future debt, you might use one of those as well. But yeah, white, definitely that purifying energy. But again, like if you have another color that means that to you, then go with that. What else? Yeah, and then you can spread this spell out, like make it a more longer term working to really, especially if you are in a lot of debt, you might need repeatedly coming back to it. Okay, so every day for the 2 weeks in between eclipses, so between the new moon and the full moon eclipses, you could light the candle and state the intention like, I invite new paths out of debt. Or again, some kind of affirmation that works for you. And then, once you get to the full moon eclipse, you are saying like, my salt is fully ready to just like get rid of stuff. And now you've got another eclipse, and you've also got the what's called like the waning moon. And the waning moon has associations of getting rid of things, cleansing away. So you take daily baths or every other day or weekly baths for the next like moon cycle, or like the full moon to the next new moon, with your fully charged sea salt. And during these baths, you picture, you visualize, and you feel that debt like purifying and moving away from you. If you still have some of your candle left, maybe you're lighting that, maybe you're lighting another candle during the bath. Yeah, just really visualizing, seeing the trappedness of debt loosening and lessening its grip around you, right? So here you have like an incredibly powerful, like trust me, like something will change. Incredibly powerful eclipse season ritual. And what have you used? You obviously, if you're in debt, you don't want to be spending a ton of money on like magical products and stuff. You've used a white candle, you've used salt. I believe that's all, and a bit of paper and a pen. Again, so I am very big on just like in my magic, it's very, very basic. And I kind of got in the habit of doing this while I was traveling. It's like I didn't have much. I had access to much. It's like, what do I have access to? Like oil, salt, sometimes like chili flakes, things like that. Water, obviously. So I got used to using what's on hand. And obviously now that I have a home, I am like collecting more magical ingredients and tools and things like that. But still, most of my workings are very basic. They're crystals that I've had for like 5, 6 years that I just recharge with new intentions every now and then, things like that. If you did, so using the example that I just gave, let's think about like, okay, so you want to bring in some form of like softening or like making it gentle. Because again, like you might get out of debt, but you don't necessarily know how this is going to come about. So if you want to make it like a gentle landing, think about, and this is where like you can do what I say, but you want to be thinking about what represents certain things to you. So when I think about the element of like comfort or gentleness or coziness or safety or like a soft landing, I'm picturing like basically a pillow fort, right? Like I'm picturing just a big pile of cushions that I can just relax into and have no stresses in the world. And that's for me, right? It has associations with my childhood and just like making pillow forts and all of that. And so I'm seeing like maybe my altar for the daily practice of like lighting the candle and like charging this salt. Maybe the altar is a pile of pillows on the ground for me. But again, that's for me. Like, what represents a soft landing? What does that feel like to you? Maybe there's a specific herb or like marshmallows or something like that. Because magic is the most powerful. This is like really important to remember. Magic is the most powerful when it has like, when you have a personal connection to the energies you're working with, right? So, and this is, something that, I have been thinking about since like Leanne and I have been creating our like line of magical products is I mean there are people who sell witchcraft products like claiming to have the energy of specific goddesses or stuff in there, but like I have a personal relationship with, so for example, like the line we just put out, like the spring collection, has like Persephone associated with it, and like asking her for a blessing and like energy into that and all of that. And like I have a relationship with her. And so just like keeping that in mind, like firstly, don't try not to buy products that claim to be infused with goddesses' blessings if you know these people don't actually honor and work with those deities, because to me that's just yeah, not respectful as a practitioner. But to come back to my original point, like the closer relationship you have with a plant or a herb or a deity or a spirit or yeah, any kind of like magical association, the more it's able to actually, you're able to connect with it and harness that energy, right? Even when it comes to the notion of eclipses, right? Like I have a strong connection and relationship with eclipses. I look forward to that time of year every year, you know? And so why not start building your connection with eclipses now, if that's something you want to do? Okay. Just another little note, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, is like if you don't have a specific working that you want to do now, or like a specific spell that you want to do now, why not collect some charged eclipse water and just label it? You know, make sure you label it, put it away from your other like regular full moon and new moon waters, and put it on the shelf just in case you need it at some point in the future. So I know I'll be doing this for this particular eclipse. I'm going to be working actively with the second eclipse, which I'll talk about in a second, this cycle. but I won't be working with the South Node eclipse this time. But I will be collecting some eclipse water. So to collect eclipse water, you just want to, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of ways to do it, but I would just like get some water, put it in a clear glass jar, put it outside. Again, I'd go with the 30 minutes like surrounding the eclipse, like 15 minutes before, 15 minutes after when the eclipse is said to happen. And then bring it back inside, you know? And then again, label it well. Label it the date, the time, the astrological sign, that it was a new moon eclipse, what degree it was at, like as much detail as you want to add. And then it's on your shelf if you need it in the future when you want to get rid of something dramatically, right? So just start thinking about what other things might you or might people want to get rid of. You know, maybe you really, really, yeah, maybe you find yourself in a situation or someone finds themselves in a situation where they feel stuck or trapped in a specific relationship or living situation, and you know, they can't seem to find a new house. You want to get rid of the place you're living or the person that you're dating, and you can't seem to shake them. Again, be careful working with eclipse magic. And yeah, but it's there. It's there. It represents like, again, shaking up stagnancy. Okay, so finally, let's just talk a little bit because I will have to go soon. So put something in my stomach before my client. But let's talk about the Taurus full moon lunar eclipse. So this is the one that I'm going to be working with actively. so this is happening on October 28th, 2023. It's happening at on October 29th, 2023 at 7:24 a.m. in Melbourne, if you want to be exact. And so I believe that's like 10:24 p.m. Eastern time. I could be getting that wrong. So double check for yourself. But anyway, and that would obviously be like the day before. Okay, so for this, because it's in the sign of Taurus, right? And Taurus is usually associated with like earthly things, earthly situations, material possessions is one of the associations with Taurus. We are talking about the North Node, so we're talking about making things bigger. And we also have a pretty close conjunction from Jupiter on this specific eclipse, right? And Jupiter also has associations of making things bigger, right? So immediately I'm thinking about dramatically increasing your money situation. Now, I will say Uranus, the planet of shock, instability, chaos, is also currently in the sign of Taurus. So again, this is not for the faint of heart. This is for the experimental witches, but why not play with it? So this is actually pretty, I'm going to be doing a pretty similar spell, kind of. to the one that I first did, like the first eclipse spell that I did in 2021? Like, doing a change your money situation dramatically back in 2021. And let me just tell you, it worked. That's all I'll say. In a positive way too. You know, so again, this stuff, it works. eclipses work. But yeah, so I want to, and this is why I'm going to be using it as an experiment on myself first, but I'm going to make a big load. So I'm not quite sure if Leanne will let me sell Eclipse Magic in the store, but if it does like work in a positive way, basically I'm going to be creating like a infused magical oil. I have got basically the exact recipe that I'm going to use, and like spell written down and all of that, and like ritual that I'm going to do written down. And I'm not sharing it because it's mine. And I'm going to create a big load. Like, I'm going to charge a lot. I'm going to infuse a lot of oil, and then I'm going to use it for myself, probably for like, you know, an experimental stretch of time. And if it works, then I will be able to like put it for sale. Whether in our actual, like from my Ulta store, or just like, you know, selling on my Instagram stories. But yeah, so you can definitely like design your own spell for this. Like I said, I'm not sharing mine because a lot of time, love and energy went into designing this exact spell. It's mine. You're allowed to be protective over your magic, and your belief and your things, right? Okay, so what else is going on on this eclipse to help give you some ideas? Mars is in its ruling sign of Scorpio, conjunct the sun and Mercury, right? So the sun is has a conjunction, like the sun will be in Scorpio along with Mercury and Mars. All of this is part of the full moon, so it's opposing the actual moon, but obviously like the Scorpio sun is a huge part of the full moon because it's the Scorpio sun that's creating the reflection on the full moon that is, you know, showing it off. And both Mercury and Mars tend to really speed things up. Like Mercury adds speed, Mars adds like heat. So some things that you're thinking about, you know, you might work with Hermes if you work with the Greek gods. Maybe you work with Mercury, and you don't have to work with like the gods as well. Like you can just work with the planetary energies too. So maybe you work during, or like you wear certain associations with these planets, like wear their colors, all of that. Yeah, maybe you work with like some tarot card energy, like Ten of Pentacles gives me big, like expansive money energy. Or Nine of Pentacles too is very much like growing and harvest and that sort of thing. Yeah, so quick, big change of money situation. However, again, you must accept that you cannot necessarily control how or where, why, whatever this comes about. I am an experimenter. You know this about me. I'll be playing with it. And if you are not courageous enough and you want to see how it works for me first, then hopefully, all going well, I will have success with this oil, and I'll make it available. All right. So that's basically all I wanted to talk about today. I'm sending you lots of love. Hopefully the audio worked on this, because like I said, I'm recording on Zoom, which I don't usually do. You can find me on Instagram at the Human Design Hedge Witch. That's basically where I am other than the podcast right now. Obviously all of my website links will be like how to work with me. All of that will be linked in the show notes. But yeah, anyway, that's basically it. I'm not really doing emails right now. I just don't have time. Eclipse season is always busy for astrologers and witches. So sending you love. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon. Bye.